After the 2020 US presidential race and the violent attempts to change the result that followed, the country is still divided over what constitutes freedom, authoritarianism, and loyalty to the Constitution. In this second of two reports on this ideological clash, Bob Abeshaus has been to Florida. As midterm elections approach, could the controversial policies of its Republican governor point to what's coming elsewhere in America?
See, I can't see it very well. Okay, I'm going to do this. Let's go.
The day after a mob stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, Donald Trump's aides urged him to issue a condemnation of the attack, but he still couldn't admit that he lost.
But this election is now over. Congress has certified the results. I don't want to say the election's over. I just want to say Congress has certified the results without saying the election's over, okay?
The former president is being investigated for trying to overturn the 2020 election and for taking classified documents to his Mar-a-Lago estate. But he is still the frontrunner for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination, in large part due to the support of white Christian nationalists.
About 40% of the Republican base is white evangelical, but about 80% of the Republican base is white Christian. And a large percentage want to institutionalize an ethnoculture where people like us are back in power and can maintain that power indefinitely.
Support for Trump and Republicans in the midterms is also based on his big lie that Democrats stole the 2020 presidential election and on a steady stream of propaganda on social media and right-wing news outlets.
These are not hearings in any recognizable sense. This is a show trial.
Fox News was the only major network not to carry the January 6 committee hearings, but they will send their primetime star to Hungary to promote its autocratic prime minister, Viktor Orban.
Why did you take a different position on migration from other European countries?
They believe firmly that if different communities are mixed up, the outcome of this will be good. But I think it's very risky. And the chance that it will be not good, but it will be very bad, is obvious.
American conservatives like Tucker Carlson embrace an Orban-like view of the United States. They reject the traditional view in the U.S. that immigrants can be assimilated, that immigrants can be a positive contribution and become Americans.
Zach Beecham, a senior correspondent at Vox Media who writes about right-wing populism, has visited Hungary several times to probe Orban's policies.
Viktor Orban's Hungary is the most revered foreign country on the American right today. And I think the admiration in the U.S. comes from the fact that he fights and he wins. But he does so through undemocratic tools, through really profoundly undemocratic tools to the point where few seriously think Hungary should be termed a democracy anymore.
So the appeal of Orban is what? That even if you have to give up democracy to preserve your heritage and promote Christian values, it's okay?
No, so this is what's really crucial about the way that modern authoritarians operate. They keep the rhetorical language of democracy. They don't tell you, you give up democracy. And what Orban has is a kind of strategic brilliance. And it's the twisting of all sorts of state policies in many subtle ways that add up to the essential abolition of democracy, even though the system retains a democratic veneer.
Our investigation of the authoritarian threat in America continues with an examination of a politician who seems to have taken a page out of Viktor Orban's playbook, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He is the favorite to be the 2024 Republican presidential nominee if Trump falters.
The left wants to marginalize the conservative half of the country. They want to delegitimize our founding institutions, and they want to replace that with their left-wing ideology as the foundational principles of our modern-day society.
We went to Florida to explore DeSantis' policies. Our first stop was Brevard County, where battles over education have been intense. At a community fair, Kim Huff was campaigning for a seat on the Brevard County School Board.
We just need our community to constantly be supportive of our public education and what that means.
In 2021, Huff started an organization called Families for Safe Schools that wanted children to wear masks in class to protect against COVID-19.
Our governor had said that you cannot require masks, and we were real concerned about the safety of our kids' health. And we quickly found out that our school system was kind of being attacked from a political angle that we hadn't known was happening.
A conservative group called Moms for Liberty had sprung up to oppose mask mandates. It was soon pressuring the school board to ban books and alter instruction dealing with racial and gender issues.
Regarding your LGBTQ guidelines, either parents have the right to direct the upbringing of their children, or they don't. Either we have a representative form of government, or we don't. According to your guidelines, we have neither.
Governor DeSantis, who is running for re-election, saw opportunity in the division over LGBTQ issues. In March, he signed a bill that bans discussion of gender identity and sexual orientation in kindergarten through third grade and inappropriate instruction at higher levels. It allows parents to sue for violations. Called the Parental Rights in Education Act, his critics dubbed it the Don't Say Gay Bill.
They're sloganeering because they support sexualizing kids in kindergarten. They support injecting woke gender ideology into second grade classrooms.
Moms for Liberty, which now has dozens of chapters across Florida, lobbied heavily in favor of the bill.
They think teachers are indoctrinating children into the LGBTQ, what they would deem lifestyle. There's so many things they're afraid of. I'm not afraid of my children finding out about it. I'm not afraid of talking to my kids about it. And so I feel like it's an overblown situation.
This year, DeSantis also pushed through HB 7, the Stop Woke Act. It rolls back diversity training in the workplace and restricts the way racial issues are taught in schools.
We believe an important component of freedom in the state of Florida is the freedom from having oppressive ideologies imposed upon you without your consent.
Do you see a connection between DeSantis's Stop Woke Act and a Viktor Orban strategy?
Yes. Both of them are attempting to seize control over educational systems. This is in part because education is the space in which citizens are acculturated. You know, they learn ideas of what it means to be a good citizen. On a deeper level, it's the professors and the school teachers who are a really potent reservoir of liberal cultural power and influence, and they need to be quashed or brought to heel.
With this bill and the idea that one individual could say, I have a concern with the way something's being taught, and if you don't stop, I'm going to sue you, is quite concerning to us in the education field and to teachers across the state.
Andrew Spahr is the president of the Florida Education Association, which represents the state's teachers.
You can end up with that extremist who wants to shut down the fact that we're teaching an honest history about the Holocaust, or we're teaching about slavery or the Jim Crow laws. It has a chilling effect. It's making people question, can I teach this or not?
In 2021, the DeSantis administration also banned the teaching of the 1619 Project, which stresses the role of slavery in shaping U.S. history. And it forbid critical race theory, a legal understanding of systemic racism, from being taught in public schools.
What we've been seeing in general in our public schools is this idea of maybe not teach all of our history, whitewash our history.
Opponents of the Parental Rights in Education Bill, the so-called Don't Say Gay Bill, were accused of setting kids up for sexual abuse and sexual deviancy, were accused of being groomers.
Teachers are not groomers. I heard some crazy things that I won't even repeat here. And when a teacher is threatened because they are part of the LGBT community, it's crazy. It's anti-American, quite honestly.
The woke is the new religion of the left. And we're going to lead the charge here in Florida, but we need people all over the country to be willing to put on that full armor of God, to stand firm against the left schemes.
Ron DeSantis is carrying out a policy agenda that appeals to all of the things that white Christian nationalism applauds. Not just nationalism in the sense of patriotism, that we are great, but what made us great was these specific things: Christianity, capitalism, white ethnoculture, traditional gender roles. And those who question that narrative are not true patriots.
It is now our distinct honor to award the first ever Liberty Sword to America's governor, Ron DeSantis.
Moms for Liberty held their first national summit in July and has taken off since it was founded by a former Brevard County school board member, Tina Deskovich, and Tiffany Justice, a school board member from a neighboring county.
Moms for Liberty has grown in just 18 months to 37 states, over 200 chapters, and 95,000 members.
Do you think public schools are indoctrinating kids to be un-American?
Yes, I do. I do think that there is something happening right now in America where there's not a lot of value being placed on how unique our country is. And we don't want our children to be taught that somehow America is tarnished in a way that that there are no redeeming qualities left. Maybe you can add to that.
I think it starts with that America is systemically flawed, that we are systemically racist.
Your organization lobbied for the Stop Woke Act. What does woke mean to you?
Nonsense.
Yeah, it's a perfect terminology, nonsense. Teaching five-year-olds that their gender is fluid, that's nonsense.
You're conflating like the gender issues and the history issues. Many parents
Stop
think
woke.
That the Stop Woke Act is preventing kids from learning about the true history of the country. And it's an attempt to whitewash the history.
Yeah, that is untrue.
There's a difference between teaching the real history of our countries and teaching divisive, toxic ideology that's meant to divide children and make them feel hopeless about a future in America.
A lot of people feel that the agenda that you're pushing in terms of elevating LGBTQ issues is marginalizing a group. If you look at authoritarian regimes, they commonly target LGBTQ folks to propel their agenda.
Is this the part where I get to remind you work for Al Jazeera?
Sure. Orban, Viktor Orban talks about it. There are situations where there's been an elevation in violence.
Here, let me stop you right now. We are not anti-LGBTQ, but the media and the President of the United States, the Biden administration, they do not like Ron DeSantis. They do not like the stands that he's taking. And it's become political. They want to divide the country. Again, divide the country.
They don't want their children learning about the changing of America. They just don't. And America is changing.
Chevron Jones, a Democratic state senator from Miami, is vice chairman of the Committee on Education in the Florida Senate.
We have a teacher shortage. We have a mass exodus of teachers who are leaving the classroom. It's also alarming that our students are extremely confused of what can happen if they go to school to try to find help if they want to talk about their sexuality.
Did you ever ask any of your colleagues on the Education Committee or Governor DeSantis, what they mean when they say woke?
Yes, and they don't even know where it's originated from. The whole stay woke was a terminology that was telling people to stay alert of what's happening around you. It was after the constant death of black men by the hands of police officers. And so for the governor to counter that with Stop the Woke Act, it's racist. I will continue to say it. At its core, it's racist.
Some people talk about Florida as the laboratory of authoritarianism. Do you think that's an apt description?
There's really something to that. Especially in state control over education, social views, and expression. And DeSantis has implemented a variety of Orban-style culture war authoritarian tactics.
But it's not just in Florida. Across the country, Democratic efforts to counter Republican culture war tactics are critical in the fight against authoritarianism. To see how it's playing out, we headed next to Ohio to examine a key U.S. Senate race between Democrat Tim Ryan and far-right Republican J.D. Vance.
J.D. is the conservative outsider who will continue Trump's fight to secure our borders.
Vance's opponent, Tim Ryan, is a congressman and Democratic populist.
That's why I'll take on China to bring jobs back to Ohio and fight for a tax cut that puts more money in your pocket. You want culture wars? I'm not your guy.
I think he's the only one who can win, but I think it'll be a close election.
Stanley Greenberg is one of America's leading Democratic pollsters. He argues that the only way to counter authoritarian trends in the country is for Democrats to start delivering for working class voters.
It's probably 3/4 of the population are people who do not have a four-year degree. And they have watched decade after decade with declining income, lost wealth, lost power. At the same time, they think the big corporations have been using their money to control government, to rig the system, and they're not wrong. The elites don't see them. And with that kind of invisibility, they will reach, you know, for anything. They will reach for a strong leader. Trump fulfilled that.
Do you see the J.D. Vance versus Ryan race as a microcosm of what's going on in the country between the Republican culture war and the Democrats' attempts to put forth an economic populist message?
Yeah. I mean, Vance adopted Trump's whole vision, and I think Ryan's vision really is the hope for Democrats thinking about the next presidential election, because he is forthright in battling for working people. He articulates their discontent, and he's angry about it. And that's what working people need to see.
You guys are like the future of Ohio, so we're counting on you, okay? No pressure.
We caught up with Congressman Ryan while he was campaigning at Butler Tech, which offers training for high-tech manufacturing jobs.
I think one of the dumbest things we've ever done as a country is tell kids they have to go to college. And we lost a lot of the kind of skill set that you get in a place like this.
What do you think it's going to take for Democrats to win back the working class?
Talk to them, go meet with them. We've been in all 88 counties, talk about the issues that are important to them. Jobs, wages, pensions, benefits, their kids, rebuilding our communities, infrastructure. These are things we all should be able to agree about. These are all American things.
In his campaign to win back working class voters, Ryan has traveled several times to Portsmouth in Scioto County. For decades, the county was split about 50-50 between Republicans and Democrats. But since 2016, it's broken 70-30 for Trump and the Republicans.
You know, we were once really a strong union, Democratic voting city.
Andrew Feit directs the Scioto Historical Project. Portsmouth's past is chronicled in 55 murals covering 2,000 feet of flood wall.
Portsmouth was a major center for steel production. At its height, the steel industry here in town probably employed about 5,000 workers. And then the steel mill began to shut down about 1970, but it took about a decade before it was completely shuttered.
People here also worked at a nearby uranium plant.
That's right, but that was also shut down right around 2000. So you had a hollowing out, basically, of our city's middle class. We lost population as residents moved away. And a lot of people were frustrated, and I think they saw solutions in what was being promised by Donald Trump.
Already dealing with economic decline, about 15 years ago, Portsmouth was overrun by unscrupulous doctors writing prescriptions for the opioid OxyContin. It caused immense social problems, and the town is still dealing with the fallout today. An abandoned shoe factory is being converted into a state-of-the-art addiction treatment facility.
This building here is going to be dormitory where individuals are going to be housed.
Max Lyles is the senior director of the project.
95%+ of our budget is just Medicaid dollars. And a shout out to Barack Obama for the Affordable Health Care Act. Shout out to the Republican governor at the time who adopted Medicaid expansion in Ohio.
Donald Trump opposed both the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid expansion, but won votes by drawing attention to the opioid problem among the white working class. J.D. Vance uses the opioid crisis as a way to wage culture war.
Are you a racist? Do you hate Mexicans? The media calls us racist for wanting to build Trump's wall. They censor us, but it doesn't change the truth. Joe Biden's open border is killing Ohioans, with more illegal drugs and more Democrat voters pouring into this country.
Those are polarizing topics that immediately pull you one way or another. It's a strategy to take people that might be in the middle and leaning to the right to pull them all the way to the right.
When I was driving down here, I saw a few signs on the side of the road. It said, Joe Biden's, you know, infrastructure bill provided 500,000 jobs. Do the Democrats get any credit for that in terms of the economy down here?
I think at the end of the day, really what we have is like it's one party and it's rich people. So I think a lot of people are critical of the president no matter what.
Well, it's only because the Democrats aren't advancing an economic message that actually addresses the loss of income and wealth combined with the inequality at the top, the billionaires' impact and control over government.
But the Republican messages about wokeism, about immigration, about LGBTQ rights, they seem to be trumping the economic message now.
So you're going to have to solve it by giving working families the kind of support they need. And they're looking for that. They're very open to a larger governmental role on health care, income support. And people, Biden voters, Trump voters, embrace that. And they believe that if you can check the billionaires' power and provide the kind of support for working families, it can be different.
I don't know. I think they've got their work cut out for them.
you know, at least in industrialized areas like Ohio.
This man was selling beard grooming supplies at a crafts fair in Portsmouth.
I actually work at a paper mill.
And the Republican Party seems to be kind of what the Democratic Party used to stand for, the blue-collar working-class people. And the Democrat Party that is now seems to have went way off the rails, in my opinion.
Do you think that white folks are as discriminated against as African-American?
I think they are. I mean, it's in different ways, I guess. But the white male has less chance of getting a job, you know, in certain situations.
Do you feel that Trump stood up for Christianity, that Christianity is under siege in America right now?
I do. Been under siege for years, but that has really exploded maybe in the last 5 to 10 years.
Well, unfortunately, we're in an area where there's still some close-mindedness, and I believe that there's a good amount of people that are okay with racial slurs and bigotry, and I honestly just think that it's all a mess, and everyone just wants it their way, and their way is the old way of let's just, you know, have people of color sitting in the back of the bus. It's just, we're going backwards.
We found that the more white Americans subscribe to Christian nationalist ideology, the more they believe that they will be targeted and that black Americans will not be targeted. In fact, black Americans will be protected.
Do you think Ohio Senate candidate J.D. Vance is trying to win votes by playing to the fears and policy preferences of white Christian nationalists?
So J.D. Vance has actually unleashed the rhetoric of white Christian nationalism and populist authoritarianism and has found it quite effective.
On the one hand, the elites in the ruling class of this country are robbing us blind. And on the other hand, if you dare complain about it, you are a bad person.
He wants to stoke fear and anger and perceptions that good people like us, white Christian Ohio Republican voters, are under attack. We're being called racists. We're being called xenophobes. Because we want to build a wall to keep those people who are trying to replace us out.
At a bar known for having a mural of Trump on the wall, we met a technician at a local chemical plant and asked him who he supported in Ohio's race for the U.S. Senate, which is now a virtual tie.
J.D. Vance.
Why do you like J.D. Vance?
The America First policies ended wokeism. Wokeism's got to end in this country. Okay, our country will not succeed. We will not be a superpower under wokeism.
So you like what Ron DeSantis is doing in Florida?
Absolutely. We'll follow Ron DeSantis the same as we followed Trump. I'm tired of hearing Trump supporters. It ain't Trump supporters. It's America First supporters.
I'm on a mission to keep Florida free. Let's make sure Ohio remains free.
Laying the groundwork for a potential presidential run should Trump not be nominated, Governor DeSantis came to Ohio to stump with J.D. Vance. Neither agreed to be interviewed.
I've got moms across the country, Democrats, Republicans, independents. You know what they say to me all the time? I wish Ron DeSantis was my governor. I can't wait to vote for him for president.
A DeSantis candidacy could lead to a pretty significant shift in the Republican Party towards full-scale urbanism. So I think we're at risk of it happening during the 2024 election, and we're at deeper risk of American democracy at the national level being thoroughly hollowed out over the course of the next 10, 20 years.
The odds for Democrats in the upcoming midterms are improving, due in large part to widespread outrage over the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade and the assault on abortion rights. But 2 out of 5 Americans think civil war is at least somewhat likely in the next decade, and 58% see the Republican MAGA movement as a threat to U.S. democracy.
You've got a very, very motivated and militant and mobilized contingent of Americans who subscribe to Christian nationalist ideology, and they want to fight to preserve their power. It's going to take a broad coalition of Americans who can put aside their differences long enough to say, you know what, the real threat right now is this radical right, neo-fascist, authoritarian regime that wants to take all of our rights, that wants to take our country in a direction that is anti-democratic. It is un-American.